There's such an incredible presence here. And I want to be sensitive to what God is doing in this moment. Eric, healing in his wings, please. This is a healing moment. Pastor Jamal said it's a reset. And what I'm very sensitive to in this season, as we see what is happening across our country and we see what's happening even within the body of Christ, that we are in a pivotal time. And God is calling us to be the church that he ordained. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 that the church, his body, is the fullness of him who fills all things. I want you to hear that. I want you to really hear that. We, the body, the church, is the fullness of him who fills all things. That means all that he is manifested in and through us, so that others can know who he is by what they see, hear, and sense in us. I was thinking this morning, or someday, one day, I was looking at Israel, and the wonder that God looked in this little city called Ur of the Chaldees and picked this man, Abram, who was an idol worshiper that worshiped the sun and the moon. And he appeared to Abram in such a way that truly got his attention. And he said, I've chosen you. Out of all the people I could have chosen, Abram, I've chosen you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you a son, an heir, more children than the stars and the sand. And through you, all nations will be blessed, because through you, thank you. That's the wrong one, but that's okay. It's okay. It's green. It's okay. Thank you. Thank you, David. And we know what happened. Isaac came 25 years after God spoke to Abram, but something about the way God revealed his glory to Abram, though he never met him before, though he was worshiping other gods, something inside him said, I don't understand it. I don't know what it is, but I know I got to follow him. And he left, not everything, but he, at the word of God, at the promise, at the covenant, left a land that had always been his home, left the gods he had always served to follow after a God he could not even see, to a place he didn't even know he was going. When God spoke to Abram, it was about identity, purpose, and destiny. For in Abram was our salvation. I want you to think about that. He promised the Messiah is going to come through your seed. And we know the history. Isaac comes, then Jacob and Esau. And out of a man, one man, 70 people go into Egypt, and a nation is born in bondage. I need you to think about that. There's a verse at the beginning of Exodus that said, no matter how much they afflicted them, they grew. So wherever you find yourself right now, feeling like it's hard, it's rough, I don't know how I'm going to make it, the more they afflicted them, they grew. God will use it even now for your growth and your benefit. I don't care what it is. He is the one that causes all things to work together for your good. Wherever you are in this walk right now, where you are is not your final destination. It is not the final destination. And I wonder, in it, can you give God glory? In it. We've been looking at, on our Thursday nights, we're in John 11. And one of the things, this is really interesting, when they come and tell Jesus Lazarus is sick, and Jesus knows Lazarus is actually going to die, but he sends word that the sickness is not unto death. By the time the messenger gets back, he's already dead. Imagine you're Mary and Martha, and the messenger comes to you and says, Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death, but you're looking at your dead brother. What are you going to believe? Jesus said, it's not unto death. My brother's laying here. I can see it clearly, but I'm going to choose to believe what Jesus said, even though I don't understand it. Can you hold on to that kind of faith when everything in front of you contradicts what God has said? We're living in a time where the church has to be the church. One united body. Not a lot of little individuals trying to do their own thing. United as one. What I sense particularly in America is a fragmented body. The first time I heard this term, cultural Christian, I was baffled. But what we have, and I was sharing this with Pastor Jamal. It's okay, David. He brought every Bible that was up there. That's okay. That's okay. Cultural Christian. And I was sharing with Pastor Jamal on Friday. Part of the challenge for a church in America is being in a culture that's been built on individualism. So it's me, it's mine, it's mine. We celebrate individualism. Look how he raised himself up by his bootstraps and what he did all by himself. And we bring that culture into the church. And it's dangerous when we build on something that's in the culture and not what's in the word. And so the individual will say, well, as long as I got my personal relationship with Jesus, I don't need to be there. I can worship wherever I want to because it's my personal relationship. Yeah, we all need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, all of us, because your personal relationship impacts what happens when we come together. However, do not be deceived to think that you can be off by yourself with Jesus and have the impact that you're supposed to have as you are united with the body. I'm not gonna get a lot of shouts. I'm getting used to that though. We need to understand. Paul tells us we are members of one another. Not just members with Christ, we are members of one another. I am a part of you, you are a part of me. And if you're fractured, if you're broken, if you're fragmented, if you have not allowed God to get in and really, really deal with soul wounds and bring every aspect of our lives. I'm not talking about me too, because I got stuff that's still in process, in progress. Don't be deceived into thinking your part doesn't matter. I don't need to go. I had this analogy, and it sounds really crazy. I'm right-handed. Now suppose my left hand just decided, well, you don't use me enough. You do everything with your right hand. I'm gonna go over here now. I don't want to be attached to this, the body anymore, because you don't use me as much as you use the right hand. And it severs itself from the rest of the body. I'm gonna be a hand all by myself. It's just hanging. And I'm suffering because I do need, still need the left hand, though I use the right hand more. And yet we have so many people with that kind of mindset. I'm just going to go over here, either because you don't see the significance of what you add to the whole. And understand this, it's not about an individual house. It's about the body of Christ. Heirs is part of something larger. You are part of something larger. But, and when you are not in place, and when you are in place but you've broken, something is missing. And this was not in my notes. Okay. However, God wants you healed. He wants you whole. He wants you in place. He wants you functioning as he ordained you to function. He wants you to know who you are in him. Some of you may know I started an online women's ministry, and we have really been dealing with healing and wholeness and its connection to holiness and being one in alignment with God. And one of the things that I was sharing with them is that we don't always know that we need healing. We can think we're fine. And then stuff will manifest, or the lie is this, that's just who you are. Trauma, and I don't care what kind of trauma it is, we've all undergone some. It can be something really insignificant that you don't even see as trauma. But it whispers to you, this is who you are. Can't trust anybody. Don't let them get close. You got to do it all by yourself. Don't get with them because the voice of trauma whispering louder than Holy Spirit saying, no, this is who you are. But if you still got holes in your soul, you can't hear God's voice saying that's not who you are. Let me show you. And so God says, this is who you are. And you say, nah, that's not me. I can't do that. I would never. God wants you healed so you can see who you truly are in him. And this is a healing moment. One of the words that God gave me coming into the summer, and I'm really going to be brief because I'm going to be brief. I want to share this and then another word of encouragement. But one of the words he spoke to me coming into the summer was, this is shedding season. He said, you need to master the art of letting go. I'm going to say that again. It's shedding season. Master the art of letting go. I learned something about molting. Snakes, snails, caterpillars, they all shed. It's external, but what happens is you start to grow, and the old skin gets to be feeling tight, and it starts to get dull, and it starts to lose its luster. And it's squeezing you in. And if you don't shed the old, you can't go grow. It restricts your movement. And you appear dull. And all the things that you once were vibrant are no longer vibrant. You gotta let go of the old skin for the new to come forth. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. But some of us are living with the old skin. Paul says in Colossians that we, since we have taken off the old man and his ways and put on the new, which is being renewed in knowledge, is constantly being renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So we're being renewed to look like the one who created us. But it requires taking off the old mindsets, old habits, unforgiveness, offense, and even some good stuff. We hold on to the good old days. Remember back in the day when I did? Let it go. It's stopping you from moving into the place and operating in the place God has for you within the body. Let it go. Let it go. I do have scripture. I think I'll find one for this. I need to take me to Philippians 3. I think that's where I'm at. Shedding season. Just say to yourself, I got to master the art of letting go. In the New King James Version, please. Thank you. Paul says, yet indeed I also count all things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. All things. He was educated. He was a Pharisee. He had it going on. And he said, the good stuff, the bad stuff, all the stuff, I count it as loss. Translation, some other word, but we'll just say loss for now. For Christ, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Philippians 3, verse, I think I'm 8. I'll say it again. Yet indeed I also count all things as loss. I don't know what translation this is. It's not New King James, but you can find it. Let me see. Maybe I have it here. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. That word know, ginosko, is not head knowledge. It's not, I'm just reading about Jesus and I got some information about Christ. It's knowing him experientially. I want to know him experientially. I want to experience his glory, his love, his mercy, know what, how he thinks, and walk in all that he has provided for me. I want to know him. Y'all, you married folk, I haven't been married, but I've been in love. And I could not get enough of being in the face of that guy. Couldn't talk. He'd come over. We'd talk. He'd go home and call as soon as he got home, and we'd talk some more. I want to know you. I want to know everything about you. I just want to be in your face. I want to know you. And I hear Jesus still asking, but does anybody really just want me? Do you want to know him? Are you spending time with him? Not spending time so you can tell him what you need. Because he already knows that anyway. I mean, we can express that because we should, but that's not the purpose now. There are times now where you just want to sit. I don't have nothing to say. I just want to be with you because I love you and I know you love me. I'm not trying to get a word. I'm not nothing. I just want to be with you. That's a place of transformation. My to-do list, my wish list, all my other things, God, I need you to. He knows. He just wants to be with you. was talking about the children of Israel and how God brought them out of Egypt and called, and when they get to Mount Sinai, and they've seen all of these wonders. And he says to Moses, you've seen what I've done to the Egyptians. I need you to get a thought real quick. The enemy. Look back and see what God has done with your enemy, your captor. Remember what he's done. I should hear more than yes and shouts, because I should hear some thank you, Jesus, when I look back and see what he's delivered me from. I'm awake. You got some things he delivered you from. If you're here today, he's delivered you from some things. So I'm awake till you get that memory and just say, thank you, God. And then he said, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you not to Mount Sinai, I brought you to myself. I'm awake. I carried you. I did some studying about eagles. The eagle is the only bird that carries their young on their back. On their wings. So if someone's shooting at them, they get the first shot. The baby doesn't get injured. The mama gets injured first. I bore you on eagle's wings. I was protecting you with my wings. If the shot was going to come, if the hit was going to come, it was going to come to me first. I'll wait. And I brought you to myself, not a physical place, not to a building, not to a land. Yeah, I promised the land, I'm going to give it to you. But it's all about bringing you to myself, because I chose you and I love you and I want to be with you. Read Exodus 19. It's nothing but God's proposal. It's a marriage proposal. He said, all the nations belong to me, but I chose you as my special treasure. Y'all, you're his special. Do we know who we are? Special treasure, chosen treasure. I posted something on Facebook the other day when I was looking at, in Romans, Romans 11, where it talks about the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. That word irrevocable literally means with no regret. So what God has done, he has no regret. He chose you. He don't regret having chosen you. He doesn't regret having gifted you and called you. He doesn't regret anything that he's done for you. I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And now if you will listen and obey, Selah, if you will listen and obey. Okay, I wasn't planning to go to Exodus either. So, Anita, take me to Exodus 19. This marriage proposal. I want you to see what I want, first of all, to really understand the depth of God's love for us. The depth. And, I'm reading this, I guess. I'm not sure I want to read it out of that translation. So, let me see. I have, as everyone knows, a thing for Bibles, translations. Yeah, I found a new one that I like, yeah. It's a Legacy Bible, Legacy Standard Bible. All right, so I'm going to pick up with verse 3. I want us to hear this. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice. Now, remember, we talked about the word listen, hear, and obey are the same word both in Greek and in Hebrew. So the implication is, if I haven't obeyed, I haven't heard. or I've chosen to rebel. The only way we know you're hearing God is because you're obeying God. And I'm not modifying what he says to suit me. That's that cultural Christian kind of thing. I'm a bend the word enough so I can do what I want to do and still think I obey God. How do I know? Done it. And y'all know you've done it too. Everybody in the room's done it. I'm gonna kinda do it, but then I wanna kinda do this. But I did it. No. Partial obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And the Old Testament tells us disobedience is actually rebellion. But we seem to think it's okay in the insignificant things. That's just a little. God tells you don't touch that. But just a little, what can it harm? It can keep you out of what God has for you. So I bore you. Now, therefore, verse 5, now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my special, what does it say? Special treasure. Not just treasure. That'd be enough if God said, you're my treasure. I treasure you. But he said, special treasure. Michael, you God's special treasure. It's okay to smile. Get that in you. Sometimes we gotta remind ourselves. I was in our meeting yesterday with the women online and I was reminding someone that God's love for us is not contingent on our love for him or our love for himself, for us. Agape is a choice. He willed to love us. He chose to love us. However, if we continue to look at our failings and our failures and our mistakes and the time and live from this place of I'm working towards pleasing God, instead of working from the place that he's already pleased and I'm just stepping into what he's already provided for me and allowing him to break away all the stuff that's hindering me. So I told her, I need you to do this every day. Say, Jesus loves me. But say it with an emphasis on the emphasis on a different word when you say it. So the first time you'll say, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And if you get that in you, I mean really get it in you, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves us. Special treasure. Now he's talking to Israel, the children of Israel. But how many of you know that we've been grafted? So if they the special treasure and we've been grafted in, we a special treasure too. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we are his special treasure. My special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Don't get it twisted, folk. All of it. I don't care what's going on. It belongs to him. And he's going to restore it to what he always intended it to be. I don't care what you think. Someone was saying yesterday or Friday night in our gathering, and he said, well, my grandmother used to have this saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I said, well, no, God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. Special treasure. And he's restoring. And one of the things he pointed out to me as I was preparing the 10,000 messages that I had for today, and this is not one of them, that in Romans 8 tells us that all creation groans, awaiting the revealing, the manifestation, the appearance of the sons of God. That's you, that's me. All of creation fell when Adam rebelled. And now we're in the process, but they're waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And let me tell you something that I absolutely have come to believe, Pastor Jamal, that we have become so future focused that we miss the now of what the Bible is saying. So yes, there's going to be this great revealing of the sons of God, but there is a revealing happening now. A manifestation, some things where you're in your family, on your job, or where whatever, are just waiting for the son that you are to manifest in that environment. Show who you really are. As his special treasure. But if you don't know who you are, or you deny who you are, or you believe the lies of the enemy about who you are, what's going to manifest? Someone said yesterday, I made the statement that trauma will steal your identity. I don't think I said it quite like that, but it'll fragment your identity. And as I said, you'll think this is just who you are. And it's not. And God is saying, this is a season. I need you to know who you are as a son. I need you to know who you are as an heir. I need you to know who you are as my image bearer. I need to know who you are as my child in the earth. I need you to understand your role in my body, because it's my body that makes me visible. And it's through my body that I have chosen to the word. Do you know God could just speak a word and everything would just be back to where he But he chose to do it through us, his special treasure. And in order for that to happen, we need to step into places of healing like never before. I shared, and then the process is not easy. Anybody who's gone through and really allowed God to dig deep and pull out roots. We want the symptoms gone, but we don't want to deal with the root. Selah. So I feel better, but I still got the disease. I just got some medicine to mask the symptoms. God wants to go deep. Some years ago, I had to have a cyst removed, and when I would go back to the doctor for checkups, it was, the skin was healing over the incision, but it wasn't healing from the inside out. And every time I would go, he said, I need this to get light and I need it to get air. So he'd take a scalpel in his office, no numbing, nothing, and just start cutting through the skin. And sometimes that's what God has to do. I need things to heal from the inside out. So I'm going to come and do a little cutting here and a little cutting there. But it's for your good. But we don't want the cutting. So we abort the healing to avoid the pain. We can't do that anymore, y'all. If we look around and see what's happening in our nation and around the world, it's only going to take the body of Christ being the body of Christ to turn it around. God is allowing what is happening. He hadn't taken his hands off and said, y'all made that mess, figure it out. But they're still waiting for the revelation, the revealing of the sons of God. We got to get it together, and that means each individual part of the body needs to submit to the healing process, whatever that looks like for you. and not avoid the pain, but allow Holy Spirit to go deep, deep. And I know for some in this room, as I said, this is a healing moment. I'm going to share a personal story, and then I am going to, we're just going to let Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. I was sharing with the ladies when I was, and I've probably shared this before here, but I want to make sure that you understand, I don't care how long ago something happened to you, God still wants you healed. We can bury it. We can act like it didn't happen. We think we're okay because we functioning in our dysfunction. Yeah, dysfunctionally functional. When I was 16, I was raped, and I carried, because if you don't deal with it, you kind of, this is back in the, when was I 16? 70s? I don't know when I was 16. Yeah, in the 70s. In the early 70s, yeah. And it was gang rape. And I just tried to, you know, you try to act like, or you blame yourself. So I carried that guilt and that shame. I eventually told my mother and my parents because I was having nightmares. And I'd wake up in the middle of the night screaming, and my mother would come and she'd pray with me and she'd read the word to me. But eventually I just told them. And they did what you do. You do go through the legal system. But everybody was a juvenile, so that resulted only in stay away from her, don't do it again kind of thing. And that thing at 16 began to determine how I showed up. Not only how I saw myself, but how I related to other people and how I related to God. And I didn't even know it because trauma was telling me, but that's just how you are. That's just how God made you. You just don't trust people. You just don't, you know, and I told somebody, I told the ladies, I said, I know I don't look at it like it now, but my posture was, I will get you before you get me. And I didn't understand why I wasn't really fully experiencing all that God had for me. I'm now, 16 years later, spirit-filled, knowing there's a call on my life. But not knowing, still I haven't dealt with this thing at the root. And one night, Holy Spirit got me in my living room. He started the healing process through a movie. And everything that I had carried for 16 years, I just released it all in that living room floor. That was just the beginning of the process. Because then there had to be forgiveness. And it's one thing to just say, okay, I forgive them. But you know you haven't really done that. So one night I'm at home. My phone rings. It's one of the perpetrators. And I'm thinking, what in the world are you calling me for? And he started telling me how his life had been since high school. He'd gone to college but failed and had to drop out. And he got married, but that ended in divorce. And he'd had financial woes. And I'm thinking, just desserts, you know. And I still don't know why you're telling me. Then he said, I am trying to get my life together. And I've started going to church. And I need you to forgive me. Now, where I was at that time was like, what? Do you know the impact of that one act for the last 16 years of my life? And then Holy Spirit said, this is not about him at this moment. You have a choice to make. And it will free you. See, we say Jesus is Lord. We say we walk by faith. But if Jesus truly is Lord in every aspect of our lives, then we have to declare it in every act in our lives. And forgiveness is an act of faith, and it's an act of courage, and it's an act of, it's a choice. But in that one act of saying, I forgive you, I am declaring that I really believe what I say I believe about Jesus. When God says, let this go, and I let it go, I'm saying, he's Lord. When he says, I need you to give, I need you to die to yourself, I need you, all of those things that we read and we think maybe that applies to everybody else. But he said, we are to put off anger, we're to put off wrath, we're to put off malice and be forgiving. The word says, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. How do I know I have truly forgiven and I'm healed? Because I could see any one of those people now, and nothing but compassion is there for me. So you think you've forgiven someone, but the mention of their name, or if you see them, you cross in the street, or whatever, then that means there's still something there. And this is a moment of healing. I want you, Holy Spirit is just going to reveal areas where you still are carrying, whether it's unforgiveness, old mindsets that are keeping you bound. It's shedding season, y'all. Got to master the art of letting go so you can be free to be who God created you to be. I believe that in this moment, God is going to reveal faces, names, anything where you're still holding on to an offense, and give you opportunity to choose. Forgiveness is not about how you feel. It's a choice. We got to be free, because we've got something that we must do in the earth that allows people to see who Jesus really is, what he's really like. And Jesus is forgiving. And Jesus is undivided in nature. He's whole. And Jesus is loving. And we want to reflect that to every place that we go. This may not be about forgiving for you. It may be about some other wounds that you've been holding on to, or sins that you've been justifying, or areas in your life where you feel like, I just need to be, I can't get rid of this. It's hard. Jesus is saying, give it to me. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he told the disciples, go gather the fragments so nothing is lost. He wants you to bring the fragments and allow him to make something totally brand new and beautiful from those broken pieces. We gotta be whole. You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to say, it's me. This is a moment between you and the Lord. Whatever he's bringing up in this moment, allow him access for deeper levels of healing. Now, I am going to warn you, healing is a process, and you can think he'll come and he'll take one layer, and you think you're okay, and then he'll come back and say, but there's still more, and then there's still more. He's gracious enough to not rip the bandage off all the time. But in this moment, if there are some things you need to let go of, let go. God, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you that you are concerned about every detail of our lives. The song says you're able to heal the wounded. So, yes, thank you, Eric. You're able to make the body whole. You're able to conquer every fear. You're able to dry my every tear. There's healing in your wings. This is a moment, in your own words, in your own acts of faith. Let go. Let go. Let go. Some people just need to let go of some things they learned so that they can relearn what God has for them in this moment. We want to let go.